The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Tony Curry, Josh Klepo, live from Vulcan. We are doing a little podcast this morning here, as we do every Thursday, and we thought since we're going to be on Fox 6, which is like you could spit on it from here, I thought it'd be a good idea to come on down here and do a little show. And so far,
yeah, whatever happens, you talk us through it.
I will. No, I'd like it if someone came down and tried to shut us down.
Will you introduce yourself as, like, you know, hey, it's Tony?
Yeah, and they'll be live on television, so and they're not coming down. I want someone to come down and tell us we can't shoot outside Vulcan in the back parking lot. By the way, there's a, see, they got this little area right here, too, that's quarantined off.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe they'll think we're actually working it. Oh. This is like our trailer and our porta potty.
Okay.
So we're looking right up at Vulcan's Heine and doing a little show out here, and we're getting ready for our Fox 6 hit. So we thought we'd get outside the studio. Next week, we'll do it from the club. Mm-hmm. I know somebody that works at Vulcan, and I don't think it'll be a problem to be inside. But I'd much rather be out here.
Nah.
Listen to my favorite little cicada friends.
I like to do it from the top.
Yeah. So back in the day, when I first got here in 1988, there was no classic rock station.
Nope.
Classic Rock 99 came on the air, and all of a sudden, all these classic rock acts started coming to Birmingham because they had a station to support them. And it was through, not Live Nation, but New Era, Jay Wilson and Tony Orfino and all those guys, and Gary Weinberger and Michael Trucks and all those guys. Great guys. Great guys. And so we would do all these shows. And so back in those days, artists made all their money from their records.
Right.
And they only did concerts to play the new songs off their new records to promote those records so they could sell more records, because that's how they made their money. Thanks to Napster and, of course, streaming services and everything else, it's totally flipped. Now, no one makes any money off the sales of their albums, unless you're like a Taylor Swift where you're selling 60 million units a day. You're only making money off your shows. When, for example, James Taylor goes on the road, I don't know what he makes per night, but he's making a hell of a lot more money making money doing live shows than he is selling James Taylor records, because no one's buying them anymore. Not enough to make a dent, let's put it that way.
So when you say buy, that's purchasing in any way, right?
99 cent on iTunes.
That's what I mean. You're lumping
the whole
together.
Album
you're lumping together buying your music versus money.
Yeah, and that's okay. Where I think, and I meant to do a video on this a couple weeks ago, but I couldn't. But Taylor Swift had 4 of the top 10 albums at the same time, which was the first time that's happened, I think, since the Beatles. She also had 11 albums on the top 100 or top 200, and she's setting all these records. That's fine if you want to say that's the truth, but it's not the same. Because back in our day, when you wanted to listen to music, we had to run to Sears or Swallens or Kmart.
You
had to go buy the record.
Right.
And that was a unit price. That was a unit sale. And so when you sold 1 million units, that means 1 million different people went to the store and bought the record. Now all you got to do is tap your phone and you can listen to whatever you want, whenever you want. It's a lot more convenient.
Of course.
And so there's a lot more people. If I knew... if the Beatles were around and we had the internet back in the 60s and 70s, I think they would have sold 3 times as many records.
So, I mean, you know, look, just use the sports.
They may have had the entire top 10 at one point.
I mean, just use this quick sports.
Not to take anything away from Taylor Swift.
No, but just use a quick sports analogy. Just super quick. 3-point shot.
Yeah. Great analogy. Yeah.
Right. You know, so, I mean, we don't know, but yes. And
the game has changed.
Yeah,
and again, to take nothing away from her, because she's amazing. She's and she deserves to have that record, but you know the fact that they're comparing it, which should tell you just how incredible the Beatles were, or the Stones or Zeppelin or anyone else that held a record that long, because the fact that it took this long, 40-50 years, for someone to finally do the same feat, and it's so easy. I could download the Taylor Swift album right now for $6.99, and even if I don't like it, I can just get rid of it.
That's right.
We used to have to hop in the car, drive to Swallens or Sears or Kmart or Walmart or whatever, and buy the album. And there was something sexy about that.
Dude, we went to Tower Records.
It was a much like standing in line for concert tickets.
Yes, exactly.
I remember U2 came to town. They were doing a thing down at Legion Field as after Rolling Stones played and after Pink Floyd played, and I sat on the concrete in a tent Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and Saturday night until tickets went on sale.
It's the parallel. Think about the Taylor Swift tickets right now.
Yeah.
And how people are trying to get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Both my kids. 8 hours, 9 hours.
Yeah.
Staying up overnight, keep refreshing the queue. Yes, it's not camping out, but that's the thing that I think is so interesting. I mean, we'll do anything for our artists, and we're doing the same thing for Taylor Swift and others. It's just the difference is you had to go camp out on the concrete. Now it's just refreshing your...
So,
no, but you know what? It's no different than what you...
It's a lot. It's a well, and sometimes you call Ticketmaster, but you had 1,000 people calling the same phone number. If you really wanted great tickets, you stood in line.
Right.
And you put blood, sweat, and tears into it, and you camped out for a week.
Life's better.
You just did that. It is better from that standpoint. Now you can just lay in your bed and look up at your phone and make sure that it hadn't been disconnected. The other thing I think is different is because concert ticket prices are so high. And I mentioned that AC/DC Ozzy Osbourne Power Trip show coming up in Indio, California, which is in your neck of the woods. You should take me, by the way. Tickets are $5.99. You're getting Metallica, Tool. You're getting Iron Maiden.
So it's a little bit of a...
It's a 3-day event.
Okay, so it's a festival.
And I would say for $100 a band, it's worth it.
Yeah.
But now what you got people doing is opposed to... Hell, I was at Oak Mountain Amphitheater 2-3 nights a week every summer. Literally.
Yeah.
I mean, one night I actually set a cot up because I knew I was going to be back the next day to do my afternoon show.
Right.
I had me a few, and I was like, I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah,
and Jay was like, that's fine. Sleep back here and get up tomorrow morning and do your thing. And I think I did some live reports or something from that morning because Lynyrd Skynyrd was coming to town. But now you got people, instead of going to 5 to 10 concerts a year, they're going to one because it's all they can afford.
Yeah.
And so there is this perception or this feeling that you are now part of the process. And you're not only part of the Taylor Swift nation or the Guns N' Roses nation or whatever. And I'm not saying this is why people are doing this, but when you're spending $600 or $1,000 for a ticket as opposed to $1,750 like it used to be, maybe people feel more apt to throw things on stage or show their butts or, hey, this is the only concert I'm going to this year, so I'm blowing the doors out, probably going to have too much to drink, do whatever it takes. They're willing to blow the doors out and do whatever it takes to have just a wonderful time because it'll be the only concert. Now, that's kind of what we're going to get into today.
Yeah, do you think, this is that classic, do you think it's happening more?
We're talking about fans being bad fans. Well, that is throwing stuff up.
Yeah, I was going to say, so there's a lot of levels here. There are, you know, we talked about sports in particular, screaming out obscenities. And, you know, where does the verbal line, where's the verbal line being drawn? Concert's hard because you can't hear anything.
Yep.
You can't hear. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing is throwing things, right?
Yep.
So it's people have been throwing things forever, both panties, flowers, you know, I mean, but
panties.
And again, like, I can think of other concerts where you're throwing pieces of paper or whatever. So, okay. What I think is interesting about this is... and this is what I was going to ask you. In the cases that we were talking about, minus the Cardi B for a second, is the artists are getting, I mean, they're getting injured. I mean, it's not life-threatening.
Yeah.
But is that something that we're just more aware of? Like when you
I think we're a lot more aware of it. It's an incredibly punk move because it ruins it for everyone else in the crowd. It sucks. I remember being at the Axl Rose Guns N' Roses show at the Birmingham Racecourse, and someone threw a lollipop up and hit Axl in the face, and he dropped the mic and said, "I'm done." Now, he picked it back up and continued because they said, "You're not getting paid unless you get paid." So it's been happening for a long period of time. But I also think that it's the artist's fault, and I'll tell you why. Artists have gotten a lot more lenient in inviting concert members to come up on stage. Taylor Swift does the hat thing. You've got Tony Braxton used to bring a member of the audience up and get in a bed with him. They've invited, and I love that. The Foo Fighters invite people to come up and actually play their instruments during a show, and I love that. That's great. It doesn't mean that you knucklehead, since you didn't get called to come up.
You know what?
Yeah, you remember the Dance in the Dark video with Courtney Cox getting up on stage with Bruce Springsteen, her first big break.
This is no different. You say this all the time, and psychologically, it's true. It's exactly the same. We can't manage ourselves.
No.
Right? We can't manage how much we eat, and it's the same thing we can't manage first of all, with a concert, this is not everybody. It's always, like you said, one or two knuckleheads that are doing it.
Same thing as sporting events.
Yeah. The thing I think about, and I was thinking about when we were talking about this, the classic Indiana Pacers melee at the Palace. I've never been in that position, obviously, but God, I think I would be just as pissed if somebody, first of all, think about standing in front of any 500 people, it doesn't have to be 50,000 people, knowing, I mean, I'm already flinching. Think about standing there. You've done it.
Yeah. I never had anything thrown at me.
Well, did it ever cross your mind?
No.
Probably not.
No.
You weren't up there long enough.
I was up there for 5 to 10 minutes.
But can you imagine standing in front of a crowd of anybody?
And I was always early, too. It was before alcohol was always involved.
But imagine that feeling of wondering, is somebody going to throw something?
Yeah.
And then still trying to perform. I mean, I do public speaking. I don't ever think that people are going to throw something at me.
I think you have to start thinking about the Monica Sella situation.
Yes.
Or the knife.
Yep.
Salman Rushdie.
Yep. Well, that's,
I mean, when you get up and perform, whether you're reading poetry or you're doing, you know, Sweet Child of Mine, you assume it's like going to your favorite place to worship. You don't assume that you're going to get attacked on it, because that is your home. That is your area. Well, and for the most part, fans were never... I was at a Peter Frampton, Steve Miller show down at the Wharf about 8, 9, 10 years ago. And it was really, really hot. Peter Frampton played first. Steve Miller got up. And in the middle of the song, several people came down and started filling the aisles. Well, security was like pushing people back. Well, Steve stopped in the middle of one of his songs. I think it was Jet Airliner. Stopped and said, "What are you guys doing? Leave them alone. They're just trying to get closer.
Oh,
they want to hear
that,
the music."
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which really incited a lot of fans then to feel like they could go down and get as close as they want. And that's why we have reserved seating, because we don't want to have another, you know, 11 people dying in a trampling. So the security people were pissed because they're trying to do their jobs. They're trying to protect the artist. And the artist is saying, let the fans come down.
Well,
you know, they're 80 years old. It's okay.
And that's, you're right. If you think about any of these concerts now, there isn't, I mean, it used to be pyrotechnics and whatever, 20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet difference. The Cardi B situation, I mean, the fans were right there. The thing about the Cardi B thing, and she was sued, she was sued for battery for $5 million.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a single fan that I've seen who is not supporting her. And that's where I think it gets interesting, because you're right. It's the whole thing about, again, the melee at the Palace. Where is the line as you're the athlete, you're the performer, they've paid money.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a right, if somebody throws a beer in your face, to throw your microphone back?
There's a whole video, and I sent it to you several months ago off YouTube, about women who are getting molested in crowds at concerts. And the band, I think it was Oasis, they just stopped and said, listen,
what the
you four guys, hop on this girl that wants to have nothing to do with you, and he's sitting there staring at him. What the hell are you doing?
Right.
Leave her alone.
Right.
And he's like, I want those four guys out of here. And of course, the fans love that. It was funny, and it should have been done. He's like, I see a woman being, just because she's wearing something, you know, that's concert goerish, if you will, doesn't mean she's asking you to touch her, grab her breast, or anything else.
What I mean, that's the thing. To me, this is very clear cut. This is super clear cut. What is it that you have a right to do? You know, again, I know Charles Barkley talked about this with the NBA and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
You don't have the right to do anything.
What's permissible?
You want to go have a good time and puke all over yourself and cuss? That's fine. You can do whatever you want.
Can you yell at the artist?
Well, sure you can.
Can you yell obscenities?
Sure, if you want to.
Can you yell racist remarks or homophobic?
You know, sure.
Okay, so that's where, and I'm not disagreeing with this, so that's where the line, because this is, again, in sports.
You know, and sometimes I think it's up to the concert goer, or in this particular case, at sporting events. I don't have a problem with anyone being really, really, really obnoxious.
Okay.
I've sat around a lot of really obnoxious people. I've gotten the shaker in the eye before. That's fine. But when you start throwing out obscenities, and I'm with my kids, saying something. I'm going, hey,
that's
listen.
To you, that's within the fans. Can you throw out obscenities to the artist? Can you call them things?
You can do, and again, I don't know why you drop $500 for a Taylor Swift concert to go call her the B word.
Well,
it doesn't make sense. But, of course, you're not going to see that at a Taylor Swift concert.
That's exactly, which is interesting.
But Swifties look after each other.
Yeah.
But if you're at a Guns N' Roses concert, I don't.
But that's with each other.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting is that
you're talking the actual artist and people.
If this is somebody you love,
have
you seen the video? Harry Styles, they've said it's everybody.
Well, I'll use another example. What about hecklers at comedy shows?
Right.
Bruce Springsteen. And, you know, when someone's heckling a crowd, they're ruining it for everybody. They want to be part of the show. Maybe they think it's being recorded. And eventually the comedian will say, if he says get out of here, it looks like he can't hold his own. So it's a very difficult spot for a comedian to be in. They usually will heckle them back to the point where it just shuts them down.
Because it's verbal.
Yeah, it's verbal. But it's quiet.
Yes. I don't. There is, to me, I don't care if you pay $10,000.
Yeah.
Well, and first of all, I think the other thing that we need to level set is the person who threw a beer at Cardi B, I'm guessing, didn't go through the thought process. I paid whatever I paid. Let's say I paid $200 for this. So because of that, I'm going to throw a beer.
I'm on a date. She's probably never going to date me again.
Yeah, that's not why they
that process, no.
No, and listen, again, I don't know, your reactions, when I saw the video, and everybody I've talked to said the same thing. Damn good for Cardi B.
Yeah.
She's like, F you. You just threw a beer in my face. And what she did is she didn't go, look for something and come back. She took what she had.
And she threw it.
I think it's great.
And now she's being sued for it. Well, yeah, and she'll probably lose.
No. I think they turned it over already.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, again, when you think about it socially, psychologically, socially, who draws the line? Typically, it's security. I think it's great. Now, yeah. I don't know that the artist says, you know what?
No? I totally agree with you. And we just need to behave ourselves.
We can't.
I mean,
we can't.
I know.
And what you just said, when you're paying.
And then I think the virility of a particular post, because that obviously went live. It's amazing what people will do just to go viral, even if it's something.
Well, now what worries me, or not worries me, but now do you see copycats? I'm going to try it.
It's been copycatted for 40, 50 years. Yes. We used to have, you look at Woodstock, there was crap being thrown up on the stage. Hell, the bands were beating each other up.
Yeah.
I think there's this thought back in the 70s and 80s that if the bands were going to trash hotel rooms, we can trash your stage.
You know the other difference? I'm just going to go here, and I think our viewers may or may not like this. I think the other difference is we live in a world now where there's been a whole lot of unpredictable violence,
mm-hmm.
gun violence, people being killed and shot. I don't mean at concerts, but it is much more on the forefront of everybody's mind. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but when I am in a situation that's volatile now, or you're in a crowd, and you do it more than I do, what's entered back of my mind that never used to is gun, knife.
Well,
even it just verbally.
When you think someone's abusing a child, what's the first question they usually ask? Have you ever abused an animal before?
Yeah, that's true.
You abuse animals. We know that children or individuals who abuse animals are much more likely to abuse human beings.
You're right.
So if a guy is going to throw a beer at Cardi B, what the hell is he doing at his own home?
Well, of course. No, but that's what
seriously. I mean, if you're willing to throw a beer or obscenities or racial epithet or whatever it is at a concert, what is that father of three doing at home?
Well, this is the thing we've talked about. I don't care whether you paid $5 or $5,000. As soon as you cross, here's the line to me, throwing obscenities, racist or racial comments, and then obviously throwing objects.
Yeah.
What is the justification? The only reason, here's why I was hesitating. I've been at a game where I thought it was a terrible call.
Yeah.
Again, I'm up in the nosebleeds. Nobody can hear me. I've dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah.
So does that make me just as bad?
No.
Why?
You're dropping an F-bomb. You're not throwing something. I know there's verbal abuse.
That's what I mean.
It's a totally different animal. Particularly since now, if you were sitting courtside, would you have done the same thing?
Oh, absolutely not. Okay. I would not exactly. Or the impulsivity or lack of impulse control on courtside. And again, you look at the people. It's just to your point. You can put a thousand fans right at the front of the stage.
Yeah.
There's going to be, I don't know, three.
Yeah.
One might throw something, two may say something. Because those 1,000 fans paid so much damn money to be the part of it. This is the greatest thing ever. Now, I have seen, inadvertently, fans throwing, notes or whatever. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it's not going to get hit by a note. But let's make this clear, too. You're talking one out of 7,000-8,000 people that are there just to have a good time. It just paints a bad picture for a lot of people.
I think
Cardi B's not going to stop touring because someone threw a beer at her.
Well, what triggered this whole thing?
Maybe he was trying to give her a drink.
what triggered this whole thing, if you think about it, it was that she threw something back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was caught on camera.
Well, that's the old schoolroom lunch fight, right?
Yes.
Once stuff starts flying, it's wide open, because if you're part of that crew that she just threw a microphone at you, you're probably whipping something back at her. So she probably didn't. Two wrongs don't make a right. All right, two wrongs. We got two rights right here.
That's
Dr.
Right.
Josh Klapo and Tony Curry. We're going to be on Fox 6 later on this morning. What time? About 9:35 this morning?
I don't know.
Something like that?
I can't see your...
Oh, it's 9:02, so in about half an hour, we're going to be on Fox 6. We can walk up there if you want to.
I need you.
And we made it here at Vulcan, and not one person tried to shut us down, which is great.
No, it's good. I'm happy. I got to go use the little boys' room at some point.
Let's put... There's a portlet right
that
there.
One. They got nicer ones up at WBRC.
They don't open until 10.
WBRC?
Oh, Vulcan doesn't.
No, we're going to the green room.
I don't think we're allowed to use their bathrooms.
Yeah, you're not. That's what they told me to tell you.
Don't forget, Daniel Champagne's going to be at Workplay coming up here next Friday night on August 11th. Tickets are only $25. Daniel Champagne at Workplay. They also have a big beer event with Bud and Bud Light on Tuesday night. Go to your Budweiser website here in Birmingham. You won't want to miss this. It's going to be a Workplay coming up on Tuesday night. It's going to be huge. And thanks to Tommy Williams and, of course, all of our great sponsors. Oh, by the way, speaking of television, Kip Keeper, myself, Tony Curry, we're going to be doing a big show starting on September, I think it's September 3rd, the first Saturday in September, on ABC 3340. It's going to be called The Starting Lineup. It'll be on from 10:30 to 11 o'clock every Saturday morning for 20 weeks.
Nice.
So we're going to have our own TV show starting on ABC 3340 starting on Saturday mornings from 10:30 to 11 o'clock with Kip. We'll have all kinds of, we're going to try to get Trent Dilfer in. I've reached out to Taylor Hicks, Damon Johnson. We're going to have some special guests come in. We're going to be picking ball games. We're going to give you some plays. We got Case Kiefer from the Las Vegas Suns going to be coming on and giving you some plays, and it butts right up against that ACC early game of the week right there on ABC 3340. You try, yeah. I can try to get anybody on. Get somebody from Vulcan on. They were nice enough not to kick us out of their parking lot. So check that out, show coming up on ABC 30. Look at Tone the Bone on two TV stations.
Yes.
Now I got to work on VTM and what's the other one?
You're going to get yourself.
Us radio people will do anything for exposure.
You really will. Y'all just like, there's no boundaries.
No.
Why don't you throw a beer at us? Throw something.
Will you throw it back?
Yeah, that's right.
Will you throw this little microphone at me?
That's right.
All right, have yourself a great day. Thanks for watching.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.